Welcome to Fanbase Radio, a sports podcast hosted by three friends who give the hottest takes on everything sports. You won't want to miss this. Stay tuned for a fabulous show. Now let's get it.
Hello and welcome to a fantastic new episode of Fanbase Radio, just in time for your Super Bowl preview. My name is Joe, and I'm joined today by one of my co-hosts, Jake. Unfortunately, Brian could not make it today, but he's speeding along out there, wishing us Godspeed. Anyway, let's get started and cover some important topics today going on in the NBA and the NFL. First matter of business, Jake. I heard someone retired recently from the NFL. I wasn't sure who. It was some old dude. Do you know who it was?
Was it Aaron Rodgers or Dan Marino?
I think it might have been Adam Vinatieri.
I didn't know he played quarterback.
Yeah, right?
That's right.
That's what all the records are for, I thought. I thought usually the ranking is like Joe Montana, Dan Marino, Adam Vinatieri.
This is true. No, it was the legend himself, the GOAT, Tom Brady.
Thomas Edward Brady?
That's right.
Supervillain extraordinaire?
It's finally over. As a Colts fan, I can rejoice once more.
The dark ages have ended.
The Tom Brady dominance is over.
It kind of feels like Sauron is gone.
I can agree with that. They finally chucked that ring into Mount Doom.
The evil eye cannot find us any longer.
That's right. Chucked it. It's over.
Completely gone. So this kind of came as a shock to me. I don't know about you or what the general public perception was, but even though Brady was pretty old, I kind of felt like he's just going to keep playing. I expected at least like next year to play again. He's playing at such a high level. I felt he should have gotten MVP honors for this season. The Bucks did have like kind of a rough end of a year with a lot of people getting hurt and Antonio Brown, doing stuff. but I still felt like he's going to run it back next year. And especially after the way he played in the championship game, it almost nearly replicated 28-3. All over again. I really felt like he was going to come back. Did you feel like this came out of nowhere? Were you expecting this to happen? Or like, what were your thoughts on this?
I didn't expect it to be so soon into the offseason. I was expecting him to take, a month or two, to make any decisions. But this quickly, I also feel like it was his hand was kind of forced because Adam Schefter decided to report it before Tom Brady decided to report it. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of forced the announcement to fast forward a little bit.
Maybe he was going to do it a little bit later in the offseason, like you were saying, but because of the leaks, he felt compelled to just address it right away.
Yeah, because otherwise he wouldn't hear the end of it. Be like, are you retiring? Are you retiring?
Right.
What's going on? He wouldn't be able to get away from it. So just putting the statement out was necessary to shut everybody up. But I do think he's going to take like a year off and then come back. He's going to like see where teams lie after this season and be like, all right, I'm going to go to this team and I'm going to win.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's actually exactly what I think is going to happen. When it comes to Brady, he's one of those guys where like a Michael Jordan, Kobe type, where he's obviously extremely dedicated to the sport. And I think it's like really hard for him to put it down. I don't know the circumstances right now with the retirement, if it actually is genuinely wanting to get away from the game or what have you. But I feel like a year out from now, we know the guy's really obsessed with his health and keeping in shape. I think a year out from now, He's going to be kind of bored with the home life. He's going to be kind of looking to scratch that itch. And I think he's going to kind of do that mercenary type move where he's going to look and see what teams are a quarterback away and see if he can get in there and play again. Almost like a more successful version of the Jordan Wizards thing where, you know, Jordan retired at his peak. He is kind of getting up in age. He was gone for like 4 or 5 years, but when he came back and played at a relatively high level anyway, but I think it's going to be more like a 1 year gap. Kind of like, you know, his buddy Gronk, actually. I wonder if he looks at what Gronk did where, you know, he's getting banged up all the time, just getting real tired of football, took a year or two off and then came back and played for a contender. I wonder if maybe Brady, as well as he does take care of his body, maybe he needs that break from the mental fatigue, the grind of a game, and just wants to get himself together, maybe come back later to a contender.
I think so. He was playing at such a high level, it seemed kind of silly for him to just be like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Because originally he said he was going to play until he couldn't play anymore. Basically, like, he said, I'm playing until I'm going to die.
Right.
So it just seems kind of strange. It's probably, I wonder if the wife at home's like, I want you home for at least one season. Come on.
I'm sure there's definitely some pressure there. And I'm sure he wants to see his kids grow up too. You know, his kids are getting older.
Mm-hmm. They're getting to the high school era, I think.
Yeah.
Preteen, teenage years. At least one of them.
But no, I'm kind of two minds of it. I was thinking a lot about this before we were recording. Like, is it better to go out on top, where you still are at the best of your ability, the way that people will remember you? Or do you want to hang on as long as you can and keep going, even though, like, it might hurt to watch? Like, you're clearly diminished in your ability. Like, compare and contrast Brady with, you know, his longtime cohort, Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, man.
Like, he was playing for a really long time, too. He also was retiring this offseason. But, like, this past season or two, he was, like, totally a shell of himself just from all the wear and tear over the years. Every throw was just a check down to Diontae Johnson, like, on pretty much every play, or a quick pass to Najee Harris. Whereas Brady, like, we saw him play at, like, super high level the entire season, MVP caliber numbers, led the league in pretty much every major passing statistic. And in the playoffs, obviously didn't come out on top, but he had a pretty damn good performance in that last championship game, especially in the clutch, which is, you know, classic Brady stuff. Like, so I kind of can see it both ways, but I think as a fan, it hurts when you see that he can still play at that level. It kind of hurts you to see that. You want to see more of him. You don't want it to go away.
Yeah. It's almost like taking something like a, I don't even know how to word it. It's almost like, I don't even know. It's like taking your favorite athlete and just being like, you're playing so well. And then he's just like, I'm going to go ahead and go.
This is an analogy. I don't know. Maybe you'll agree with it or not. It's like your favorite TV show. It's going and every episode's good. And then suddenly you get to like a season finale and it sets up a really great cliffhanger and it's super awesome. And then the show gets canceled.
There you go. Just like that. But I feel like he'll be back. The finale has not been written.
I agree with you. I'm kind of curious. I need to explore the football landscape online, see what people are saying. Because I feel like, to me, that would probably be a general sentiment. Maybe we're wrong, but that's just how I feel. I'm pretty sure this is not a long-term thing. I see 1, maybe 2 years break, and he'll come back for a bit.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to be playing till he's in his 50s. Just watch.
Maybe he pulls a LeBron James and he tries to keep going until his son's on a team and he can play with his son.
Be the backup to his son or have his son be the backup to him.
No, they both, they do, They run Wildcat sets with two QBs at any given time, and they just do flea flickers every play.
Or the Philly special, do that play.
Yes, yes.
That'd be wild.
Good times. But regardless, at least for now, farewell to an absolute legend of the game. He certainly earned his fair share of ire through the years, mostly through his continued dominance of the majority of the league. But we definitely lost not just a good one, but a great one, maybe the greatest one.
Yeah. Goodbye. Good luck. And good riddance.
For me, I'm particularly excited for Tom Brady's no filter retirement comments, where he's like, the league's too soft.
Yeah, he comes out and he's just like, you all suck.
I'm ready for grumpy old man Brady. We already saw the evolution to Florida Tom, who didn't seem to give much of a crap and walked around with flip-flops everywhere, throwing that Lombardi trophy onto the boat. How much more of a fuck can he not give now? That's what I'm excited for.
Tune in to see how many fucks are not given.
But speaking on that championship weekend, you know, it wasn't all excitement and glory for the quarterbacks playing those games. Some of those quarterbacks' names were Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, no, not Mahomes.
Did you get a chance to watch this game, Jake? The Kansas City versus Bengals game?
I did. I actually watched the whole, pretty much the whole thing.
So, I mean, I have not been watching consistently football for that long. I've tried to do my research and go back and do history, but really I've only been watching for about the past 4 to 5 years. For me, this might have been like the worst I've ever seen a quarterback choke, like in a playoff game, with Patrick Mahomes' play starting on the last play of the first half and into the second half.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. I don't understand how. Do you think it was it him or was it the play calling? Because the play calling seemed kind
of. I think it's a mixture of both. I know Andy Reid kind of has a reputation for making a lot of risky choices, and sometimes he looks like a genius, sometimes he looks like a fool. And in the Mahomes era, they mostly looked genius until this past season. Here's the thing. So watching this game, it felt like it was a foregone conclusion going into the second half that the Chiefs were going to win this. Like, there was no hope in hell for the Bengals whatsoever. The second half, the Bengals, to their credit, they made a lot of adjustments. They stopped trying to like constantly blitz and rush Mahomes, and the broadcast cameras didn't do a great job of showing exactly what happened, but it seemed like they were just completely shadowing the receivers, particularly Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, who are like the two main safety valves on that offense, and just kind of containing Mahomes with three. So not really rushing him to give him an opportunity to make a throw, but just making him uncomfortable. And I think it showed an unwillingness on Mahomes' part and Reed's as well, as far as play calling, to not go for the home run play. The Chiefs, I think, have kind of come to fame, notoriety, the past few seasons under the Mahomes era with constant, big, exciting plays, like huge 30-yard passes, going all the way downfield almost every time, insane passes you didn't even know that were possible to make, versus – to contrast with a quarterback we were talking about earlier, Tom Brady, very much like a mid-range surgeon, always making like a very precise pass, managing the game clock. I felt like in this game, the Bengals took away the big play consistently. And it's something that a lot of teams did to Kansas City in the regular season. And the Chiefs has never seemed to be able to adjust to it, whether that's a quarterback thing, a coaching scheme personnel thing, I'm not sure, but they definitely struggled because they weren't able to get their bread and butter with those big plays.
Yeah, and I think the big turning point was at the end of the first half when the Chiefs went for the touchdown rather than kicking a field goal.
Oh, God.
the Bengals got the stop, and that was the turning point. That's when the momentum swung into the Bengals' favor, and it was all downhill for the Chiefs from there.
And you know what's the worst part about that, Jake? They lost by 3 points.
Yeah.
And they went into OT. If they had taken that easy 3 points, they would go on to the Super Bowl, warts and all.
Yeah. And it's like I can understand going for the touchdown because you pretty much would have put the game away in a sense. Like, it would have been pretty much donezo for the Bengals at that point. It would have been demoralizing to be down like 31-3 at the half or whatever it was. Yeah. So that was the turning point for me, like, in that game.
It was a completely different game from that moment onwards.
Yeah, it was a fun one, that's for sure.
It was a very exciting game. But to go with that, as far as why they called that, you know, I get it. From what I had understood and reports that I had heard, Mahomes was kind of petitioning Reed to, you know, give me a chance, let me get a big play going. And that's all well and good. I think it's good to have faith in your quarterback. There were times we praised Harbaugh's play calling with Lamar Jackson this season for doing the same thing, putting the ball in your best player's hands and letting him make something happen. It just didn't work out. I think it was kind of more of a Patrick thing on that play. It's easy, hindsight's 20/20. On that particular play, all the momentum changed, but it didn't have to. Like, even if it was the same result, if Patrick doesn't get so shaken up and they adjust the play calling a little bit more in the second half, like, nobody remembers that at all.
Yeah. We wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Right.
Like, yeah, it was a blowout. Nothing to talk about here.
It was I've never seen Mahomes so shaken before, is the thing. I feel like he's kind of been the wonder boy since he came into the league. I'm a big fan of him personally. He makes some amazing throws, some amazing plays. Even in this game where, you know, it was kind of to the detriment of a team, he extended a lot of plays, like, for God knows how long. I just couldn't get anything out of it. So I feel like he's come into the league and he's had, like, a very high level of confidence. And it's kind of interesting because we're seeing maybe the first time in his professional career that he's encountering turmoil.
Yeah.
A lot of players, usually it's almost the other way around. They come into the league and they kind of struggle to get success or figure out how to play. And then through that experience comes the confidence. It's almost sort of reversed with Mahomes, I feel like. He came in, he was not highly touted, but he right away made an impact after his rookie season. And I feel like it's just been complete success for him at almost every step. And I feel like he might be learning what it is to lose right now.
Yeah, he's seemed immortal now. Mortality has risen.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look so superhuman now. It was just a matter of time before the rest of the league caught up to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not going to be as easy for them going forward. Especially since Travis Kelce, like, as dominant as he is, he's getting older for the tight end position, you know.
I mean, isn't he like Gronk's age?
He's 30, I don't know, 30-something, I think, 33? Is he 33?
He's 32, and Gronk is also 32.
Yeah, so there you go.
But yeah, I think if they don't make adjustments, then Rasheed's are going to have a hard time. I'm not worried about the talent level of Patrick at all. I think this actually, in a way, could be a good experience for him. I think he'll learn from this. Here's the thing with Mahomes. This is just my perception. I could be totally wrong. I'm not the biggest Chiefs fan. I don't tune into every game and read every press blurb. But I've always kind of viewed Mahomes as someone who's so naturally gifted and talented, he doesn't necessarily learn the nuances of the game, how to manipulate defenses or read the coverage, take the small plays, think about the tactical advantage in the way that a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady might, where they're not the most physically gifted athletes, so they have to use their brain. They have to use their strategy and their tactics more. I feel like this might be a good time for him to really learn the game at the professional level. Not to say that sounds kind of arrogant to tell the man, but to learn the nuances of the game as a quarterback and kind of get some vet moves in there and really think about the, I guess, the metagame of it, so to speak, and how he can make things happen when he can't just bail out the team with his amazing athleticism on every play.
Yeah, they gotta. The Chiefs just need to make a couple adjustments in the offseason. Maybe get another.
I think we need another wideout, because the problem they've had even throughout this Mahomes era with all the success is, I don't know if it's talent or if it's chemistry, but Mahomes does not throw to anyone that's not named Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. They've tried a lot of times to get that third wheel in there. Sammy Watkins the other season, Mecole Hardman now, and it's just not enough. They need somebody a little more talented, I think, somebody that Mahomes can trust, who can like run those shorter routes and give him an option when teams are playing them like this with two high safeties and they're covering up everything deep.
Yeah, I've got a feeling they'll make a push to bolster the offensive line and then bolster the wide receiver this offseason. Maybe they'll go for, if Calvin Ridley comes back, maybe they'll make a push for him. Or maybe they'll even go for a, could you imagine if they landed like Davante Adams? That'd be wild.
That would be wild. The only thing with that, though, is I'm not 100% sure of their cap situation, but here's one thing that I had pointed out to me. So Mahomes up until now has been, he signed that crazy like $500 million contract a few years ago, but it's not actually kicking in cap hit wise as far as their ability to sign people until next season. So this past season, he was pretty much almost on like a rookie pay scale where the cap hit was like $7 million. Next season, that is exploding like four or five times that amount. It's like $35 million cap hit. So they're going to be a lot more limited. I'm not sure how much cap room they have overall or what moves they could make, but I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for them to get that third guy. I don't know if they're going to be able to afford the top shelf guy like a Davante Adams.
Yeah, they might have to go for a might have to draft, maybe. Mm-hmm. Draft like a top wide receiver.
We mentioned this guy before, but I like Allen Robinson. Obviously, as a Bears fan, I'm familiar with his play. I think A-Rob would be a really good fit there, especially coming off kind of a down year. We could probably get him on a decent deal. I think he's exactly that kind of guy, sure-handed veteran that Mahomes can trust to get some good yards after carry.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be a good fit. We'll see this offseason what happens. This offseason is going to be wild, I have a feeling.
Oh, absolutely. Crazy.
Especially with the Aaron Rodgers situation. We'll see where he ends up.
But I think that about covers everything I had to say about the Chiefs. Did you have anything you wanted to add on them?
Nope.
Okay. In that case, I think it's fair that we give some shine to the other side of the ball in this game, to your Cincinnati Bengals, America's team, Dallas.
Who day, baby? I'm part of the hype train, and I ain't ashamed to admit it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everybody kind of is. I'm trying to keep level-headed. I don't know if anyone who's followed this podcast, almost every week I've bet against the Bengals. It's the Super Bowl. I'm still kind of wanting to bet against them. But at the same time, the football fan in me is so excited to see this young team with so much confidence out there making plays, making a splash, really making a name for themselves out there. I'm excited for them. This is going to be a fun one to watch. Joe Burrow. Got to give that kid credit. Obviously, he's starting to develop a little bit of a Joe Montana reputation. Not to compare him to the great right now, but, you know, same name. But he's definitely shown like a lot of poise. We had mentioned for Richie's momentum changed when they didn't go for that field goal and they got held at the goal line at the end of the first half. I think for the Bengals, the momentum changed on those third down conversions from Burrow. Burrow had two or three conversions, third and long, where he just scrambled and went for a run and he converted it and kept the play alive, kept the drive alive. And you could feel the energy just deflate out of the Kansas City Stadium. That was, to me, was very impressive for such a young player.
Yeah, he kept their Super Bowl hopes alive on quite a few different drives. It was almost like somebody, I want to compare him to like how Michael Jordan's like, and I took that personally. So I wonder if somebody said something to him and he's just like, you know what? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to ball out. I'm not going to lose.
I could definitely see that. Cause if you remember earlier in the season, somebody had commented about, someone made a remark. Let me see who it was. Someone on the Ravens, I want to say.
Also, who would have thought those LSU Tigers would be really that championship squad, man?
Burrow got his guy.
Yeah. Wild.
All right, so this is what the comment was. Before the Bengals-Ravens game, the defensive coordinator for the Bengals said, the second year, okay, I'm so confused. Okay, but he had made a comment going into this game that he said, you know what? I'm totally confused. Okay, but basically, he's kind of slighted Burrow. He made a comment that Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame level quarterback. Obviously, Joe's not there yet. And they came out that next week, played the Bengals. 41-21 victory in favor of Cincinnati. Joe had 525 yards and four touchdowns. Do you think the man took the comment personally?
More than likely. So there was another instance too when he was in college. I think they were like down or something in the championship game. And one of the players like on the opposite team, like made some comments towards him or kind of like did like a blindside hit on him as he was running. And after that, Joe Burrow like didn't lose a college game after that moment or something like that. It was wild. I'm just like, oh, well, yep. That just goes to show. Don't fuck with Joe Burrow. He missed a Joe cool.
I think this is exciting for the league. Right now, I feel like we are watching the birth of like a myth in motion. I think everybody wants him to succeed. I only worry that we're putting too much expectation on him because he's been so fantastic so far that when he does inevitably struggle, if he is a mere mortal, that we might all turn on him, that there's going to be a lot of haters like, oh, you know, everybody was crowning this kid, it was too early. But it's exciting to have somebody with so much moxie and charisma in the league, and especially at so young and with one of the greats in Brady retiring. I think there's a lot of hope among fans that this is kind of a passing of a torch moment.
Yeah, I agree. Well, especially with like pretty much all the quarterbacks besides Aaron Rodgers from our childhood have retired.
Yeah.
Or are no longer playing. So it's almost like with the Tom Brady retirement, it's like a passing of the torch saying, all right, the next generation can have their limelight, their glory days are ahead of them.
That next generation is pretty exciting too in the AFC alone between Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow battling it out for the next 10 years. Yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
It's almost like a Brady, Roethlisberger, and Manning.
Right.
In the AFC. Oh, man. The next generation. I'm excited.
I am very excited. But now I just wanted to give the Bengals their flowers. I'm still not sure if I can bring myself to favor them in the Super Bowl. I might be eating crow again. But very excited for them. I hope this team sticks together. I hope next season, regardless of the outcome of the big game, I hope they don't get what Pat Roddy calls the disease of me. Too much success too early leads to selfishness and them not playing to the best of their abilities. I hope this team continues on for a long time and is a force to be reckoned with. I just love seeing a team with such great chemistry and energy and really a lot of fuck you in it.
To go around. It's so good. Yeah, I hope they do well for a long time. I don't see them letting this get to their heads at all, especially how calm and collected Joe Burrow seems to be, even as just it being his second year. So his first full year, which is the wild thing to think too.
Right? Absolutely insane.
That being said, should we move on to the NFC?
I guess we should. I don't have a whole lot to say about the championship game itself. I don't have entirely a lot to say about it, but what did you want to chime in? I know you're a big Niners fan.
Well, it's finally over. And a Jimmy Garoppolo time in San Francisco is done. And that's all that really came out of this game.
And, you know, it kind of ended about how everybody expected it to the entire game.
With the interception.
With the Jimmy G interception. To his credit, I'll come out of the woodwork and defend him. One moment, I think somebody is mowing outside my house.
I was like, oh, man, somebody's having a good time out there. Yeah, shut him out. Get him out of here. And this is why we do podcasts.
They're gone. This is why we record live, so you can get an inside look at the true gritty lifestyle of one Joseph.
We're leaving it in. Not editing that out. You guys all get to hear it.
This is Gonzo sports journalism, baby. This is what's going on in the nitty gritty.
We're out in the field getting you all of the best headlines. We're out there.
I'm here at SoFi right now.
Oh, man, what's the atmosphere like? Who's there?
I tried to throw a football, and I went about 2 yards, but that might be a personal problem.
Keep it up, kid. Anybody can do it.
Okay. But, I wanted to defend Jimmy just a little bit. I don't think he played very well. But on that last play where he kind of chucked the ball away and ended up getting intercepted, I don't feel that was his fault. I actually thought that was a good play. You know, he had to get rid of it. He's getting rushed. They needed to get something going. If he goes down there, it's over. So might as well take a chance. He got pretty close to his guy. It's just a little high. It's unfortunate. But I don't want that play to be like, oh, look how bad Jimmy G is. Because there's a lot of other plays we can talk about where he's horrible.
Yeah. I think as I said throughout the season with the 49ers and Jimmy G, the reason why they didn't play Trey Lance over Jimmy G is because they wanted to get increase Jimmy G's value for a trade. So maybe they'll get a first round pick out of him. You never know. Cause there's a lot of quarterback needy teams right now off season. So
even they might be able to get something. Our last episode, we talked about a bunch of teams that are more or less a quarterback away from becoming a real contender.
Yeah, so, you know, he's middle of the pack. He's good enough to get, obviously good enough to get a team to a Super Bowl. So we'll see where he lands.
I view him very much in like that Kirk Cousins tier where he's better than the average quarterback, but he's not going to win you like a game on his own. You really need to have like a solid team around him.
I feel like the Steelers could make a push for him this offseason.
Steelers are going to be interesting because they're definitely like a quarterback away, whether they go for Rodgers, a more average player like Jimmy G, or they try to draft some stud. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. But other than that, congratulations to Matthew Stafford. Finally.
Congratulations.
Finally made it.
My father currently lives in the Michigan area, and he watched Stafford for about the past 10 years. He's a Bears fan through and through, but he texted me after this game and said, they finally gave Matt Stafford a retirement present. A real team.
Could you imagine Stafford's just like, I'm going out on top. I'm out after 1 year.
If he wins the big game, I could absolutely see that.
He's like, no more.
But Stafford played phenomenal. The Rams as a whole played very well in this game. As all of our key contributors, really, who same guys have been there all season. Obviously, Stafford had one of his better games this year, and he clutched up, showed, you know, he's a guy. He's not an average. He's not a Kirk Cousins type. He's someone he can elevate your team. You got to take the good and the bad with him. Kind of a Brett Favre mold gunslinger, but he can get you far. Cooper Kupp, right. One of my favorite players to watch this season. Huge plays down the stretch in all these games. And Aaron Donald came alive in that second half and completely emasculated Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, it was. Let's hope it. They don't do the same for Joe Burrow.
Can I just say, I don't know. I assume you're watching this game because you're a big fan of the Niners. Did you see after time had expired when OBJ went over to Deebo Samuel and they're kind of having a moment and you could clearly see Deebo like just in tears on the bench?
Yeah, I did see that.
Absolutely heartbreaking. That hurt to watch.
Deebo tried. He tried so hard to will the team to victory. He tried.
He had like more than 100 all-purpose yards. I know he had a touchdown in that game. A lot of huge conversions in that game. Just sad. Just unfortunate. Dude looked like he was honestly the best player on both teams for a little while there. Yeah. You guys got a real one there. I hope next season, with the development of Lance, that he can continue to be a big part of the team. I kind of see like the heart and soul of the team. I don't know too much about the Niners as a team, but I would be willing to wager that he's a locker room leader there, and he probably sets the tone.
I hope so. Godspeed, Deebo. Godspeed.
So my question for you before we move on to Super Bowl predictions is, as a Niners fan, where are you setting your expectations for next season? Obviously, this year, we saw the team around the quarterback is good enough to get to the Super Bowl, get to the championship at least. But they're like one play away, one score away from being able to make it to the Super Bowl. And we've got a supremely talented team all around, special teams, offense, and defense. As a Niner fan, with Jimmy probably gone, probably being traded, do you see this team contending next season, even with Lance? Does it change if you get another starting quarterback? Or do you think you're riding Lance? What are your thoughts on that right now?
I think with Trey Lance, they could make it back to the playoffs for sure. I think as they might start off kind of slow.
Uh-huh.
But I think as the season goes on, the Deebo and Lance combination is going to be very electric.
Mm-hmm.
Very electric. And plus hopefully their offense stays healthy. So like if Mostert comes back, you know.
I think he's a free agent this season.
Well, anyway.
But either way, they've got a good depth at running back between Mitchell, Jeff Wilson Jr., and Deebo taking snaps there.
Yeah, and if Deebo doesn't take snaps there, then, you know, he'll get more passing yards. So, like, he won't have to be a one-man show, and they can use his repertoire more sparingly. But I think overall, when it comes down to it, I think they will be in the postseason next year. I don't know how far they'll go, but
do you think they can make it out of a wild card?
Yeah, I think so. Just because the defense is so good too.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I mean, they had, what was it, during that championship game, they were talking about how they can interchange their defensive line to where, and they can keep people's legs fresh. They just had like so much diversity at the defensive line that they could just constantly swap people out and just keep people's legs fresh so they could rush and get pressure on the quarterback easier.
Right. So we got like a really great deal of depth there on defense.
Yeah.
So more than likely, I think they're going to be developing Lance because they did spend such a huge amount of capital to get him. How do you view them if they do trade Jimmy and they get a quarterback? Obviously, if they get like Aaron Rodgers, well, yeah, they're gonna be contenders. But let's say they get like just like a mid-tier guy. Like, I don't even know. Let's say they get like Derek Carr, someone like that. You know, not horrible, but kind of like average. How do you feel about the team like at that point?
They'd be about where they the same. They would just kind of be the same.
Kind of, you sort of view it as like the same as having Jimmy.
Yeah, because he's also like the Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, like Derek Carr, you know.
Yeah.
But if they can get a high caliber like an Aaron Rodgers, sure. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think Trey Lance will develop just fine.
I'm interested especially to
since
see
he's mobile.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to bring up is it's going to be probably a little bit of a different looking offense because he is such a mobile quarterback and Shanahan does love his rushing offense. And obviously Jimmy G is kind of the statue back there. It's really going to make the defenses they play have to guard them like completely differently.
Yeah. And you know, the offensive mind of Kyle Shanahan is going to be he's going to have a whole different playbook next year.
He's got a whole bunch of Shanahanigans.
That's right. The playbook's going to be completely different. So the Niners team is going to probably have a different look instead of relying so much on the run because Jimmy G can't throw.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably still rely heavily on the run, but it'll be a completely different package with like lots of quarterback.
Yeah, design QB runs.
And stuff. Yeah. And you know, we know Debo can throw touchdowns. So who's to say Debo won't line up at quarterback and chuck it to Lance?
Oh, you get some good Wildcat stuff going on.
Yeah. Let's go.
So
I'm excited.
Definitely exciting. Want to see some more of Lance develop. All right. Anyway, I guess we should move on to the big spectacle coming this weekend. Super Bowl. Bengals, yeah. Rams, as we all predicted at the beginning of season.
I saw a post somebody said on, I think it was on Twitter or Instagram, they said, the Bengals-Rams is like season 8 of your Madden 22 franchise.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh man. That's
I
like
don't think there could be a more apt description for this scenario.
It's almost like it doesn't seem real. It's so bizarre. Such bizarre. It's so weird.
I'm still stuck in the wild card round where Burrow got sacked 9 times and won. I can't believe reality moved from that point forwards.
I know, right? Yeah. And ever since then, at the next game, the Chiefs only sacked him maybe like a couple times, 3 times. They didn't sack him very much, I don't think. Yeah. Wild.
But as far as this game goes, so I'm going to be Mr. Negative Nancy. I'm going to predict the Rams take this still. Now, I have one simple reason why I think this is true. In spite of all the excitement around the Bengals, and they clearly play with a lot of heart, and they definitely have an it factor. Same thing I've been saying all playoffs. So maybe this is a sign I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. But that offensive line is so porous, and Joe's getting sacked and hit and pressured so often that it's going to be hard to run that. That's going to be multiplied 100-fold because Aaron Donald and Von Miller are back there on the other side. Aaron Donald's going to be rushing to take Joe Burrow's head off every game, as we just saw happened against the Niners, who also have a pretty decent offensive line compared to the Bengals' rather weak one. So for me, that's kind of like the tipping point. I think both teams are playing very well right now. I think they're all clicking on all cylinders for both teams. It's just the makeup of the team is Aaron Donald versus a bunch of crash test dummies is how I view this game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They'll definitely double team, maybe even triple team Aaron Donald. They're going to
have to.
They're going to have to. But then I don't know. It'll be interesting because I don't know. I feel like the Bengals will figure it out. They'll bottle up the Rams, whether it be the first half or second half. They'll do something. And Joe Burrow is gonna, he'll get it. I believe. I want to believe.
We'll have to see. I definitely think it's possible. Burrow keeps a cool head even in pressure situations in game. It's certainly not the first time he's been sacked. Maybe it's been good experience. He's learned how to deal with it. So I could still see them winning, but if I had to bet, I would bet on the Rams.
And I would bet on the Bengals.
You're going Bengals all the way?
Bengals all the way, baby.
All right. We got to do this through to the end where I bet against the Bengals every week and you bet for them every week and I'm proven wrong constantly.
That's right. I forgot to mention when we were talking about the Bengals Chiefs that I was correct in my prediction that I said if the Bills were to beat the Chiefs, the Bengals would lose. But if they got, if it was Bengals versus Chiefs, the Bengals would
win. You were right. You were
sure
right.
Enough, sure enough, I knew it. I knew it all along. Hindsight.
We got to give you your flowers for that. I applaud you for your amazing foresight, sir.
Where's my gold medal? God dang it. It's the Olympics.
You have to go get it from a creepy power plant in the background.
Oh.
Have you seen, totally off topic, but have you seen any of the broadcasts of the actual stadium for the Olympics? Because it looks really sketch.
No, I haven't. I've watched a little bit of the Olympics, but not much.
At the women's snowboarding event or something, it's one of those events, but they're going off like a half pipe off of a ramp, and it almost looks like a parody image. In the background, you just see like smog towers, like in big smokestacks, just like no more than like 200 feet away from where the arena is. It just looks so sad.
Oh no.
There's also been photos from athletes who are housed at like the Olympic Village right now, where the food they're getting, it's like the saddest thing I've ever seen. It's like a little takeout box, and you open it up, and there's like four sliced carrots in there. There's like a quarter ounce of mystery meat, and there's like gelatin. Like, it just looks pathetic, and it looks really sad.
God.
I think that happened last time the Olympics came around, too. What's going on with these Olympics? Why don't we treat the athletes better?
You know. They deserve better, that's for sure.
That's a deep dive for another episode. What's going on in the Olympic Villages?
The Olympic Village scandal.
Wasn't there like a crazy... Okay, I'm going into like weird territory here. Wasn't there like a crazy thing like a few Olympics ago where there was supposedly like nightly Olympic orgies where all the athletes were there banging nonstop?
Probably.
How many future Olympians were created on those nights?
I mean, when you got a bunch of people,
it's like making like government super soldiers.
Right. And when you got a bunch of like top athletes in one area for like weeks at a time, I mean, I'm sure it's bound to happen. Maybe not now because
there's some hookups.
Yeah. Probably not now because of COVID, but I'm sure. I'm sure there's something.
We got to infiltrate the Olympic Village and see what's going on with their debaucherous lifestyle.
Looks like I'm off to China.
All right. You might not be coming back. Unless you have a gold medal in hand.
Well, soon.
But before we move on from football, I did have one more topic. I didn't discuss with you before the show and the show notes, but it just occurred to me while we were talking. So last weekend, the Pro Bowl happened, Jake. Nobody likes the Pro Bowl, is what we've discovered.
Yeah, I could care less about the Pro Bowl.
What do you think about it?
It's cool to see the players having fun, like with no real repercussions. You know, they're just going out there. But the game is pointless. The two-hand touch, which I totally get it. I get it. You don't want to go out there and, you know, be trying to get injured and stuff because you don't want to be out for the complete next season. Like, understandable. But what's the point of playing the game? You know? Like, why? Why bother? It just seems so pointless to me. They just keep doing, like, the skills challenges and dodgeball. Like, just do a giant dodgeball tournament or something. Yeah. I could care less about the actual game.
That's kind of where I'm at, too. I think a lot of people are. Pro Bowl is cool in a sense that, like, the NBA All-Star game, it's cool to have players recognized for how well they did in a particular season. But the game itself is, like, it's just kind of not compelling. It's just watching, like, schoolyard football, more or less. And granted, you know, like, they're the best athletes in the world. But, you know, they look like they're, like, jogging, like, through walkthroughs or something. And to your point, yeah, I totally get it from a player's perspective. Like, I don't want to risk my career here in a literally meaningless game, especially in football where money's not guaranteed on every contract and you could get hurt in the Pro Bowl and that might be the end of your career and you barely made anything. But yeah, I don't know. I was trying to think about this. Like, what's the difference between the Pro Bowl and the NBA All-Star game? Because at least for me, I enjoy the NBA All-Star game. I think the All-Star game is super cool. And especially the past few years, since Kobe died, rest in peace, where they changed the scoring format at the end, where the team has to hit like a certain point threshold to win. Like, you see the guys at the All-Star game, like, they really go at each other. Like, they're playing it hard. Like, there's really no benefit to it. You don't get like home court advantage or anything like that. But you can totally see, like, the pride is on the line, and they're playing hard as fuck. And there's constant highlights, and it's not as rigorous as, like, a playoff game, but dudes are trying. Like, they want to prove, like, yo, I'm the best dude on the court right now. I don't care about these other dudes who got voted on here. You came to see me. Like, there's just a certain level of competitiveness to the All-Star game that's not existent in the Pro Bowl. But the thing is, I don't know how you can make that work in the Pro Bowl. Because with the All-Star game, basketball, like, just as a sport, like, it's easier to, first of all, like, throw people together. Like, you can go play pickup at the Y or, like, most courts anywhere in America. And, you know, you don't got no dude. You can just hang out with him and, like, you start playing right away and contributing. And when you're a professional, obviously, that's a lot easier. And all these dudes know each other. The Pro Bowl is, like, by nature, like, it's harder because football, like, there's a certain amount of team chemistry that's necessary. It's not so freeform like basketball where, you know, you just kind of set a pick, you play defense, whatever. Like, you're generally supposed to be running, like, design plays, there's protection and manipulating defenses and stuff that just doesn't really exist in the game of basketball. I feel like it's not possible to make the Pro Bowl compelling without putting in like a ton of effort compared to making like an NBA All-Star game exciting.
Yeah, that it's, I honestly don't know what they could do to change it to make it more compelling. It's, get rid of it. That's my opinion. Get rid of it.
One thing I've seen a lot of people say for these sort of games is, what if there is something at stake? I've heard a couple ideas. One is almost like a bounty system where the players would actually make money for certain incentives. Like, I don't know, like getting a certain amount of first downs or like big runs, stuff like that. Almost like a challenge in like a video game, but like trying to do exciting stuff or play hard would financially incentivize them. And then another one I've heard, which I like a little bit better, but I don't know how I'd feel about it in practice, is determines home field advantage in the playoffs, specifically for like the finals, like the AFC versus the NFC, where it would be hosted or something like that.
Oh.
What do you think about like, ideas like that?
That'd be interesting. Like, instead of doing like setting the stadium beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. That'd be kind of cool. kind of similar how baseball does it, where whoever wins gets that seventh game advantage.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be... That's hard to...
The only thing is, like, when I think it through more, I'm like, wouldn't that kind of suck? Like, if your team, like, was, like, the best team in the league. Like, if you're, like the 07 Patriots and you're, like, undefeated in the regular season or whatever... And then it just happens, like, I don't know, like, the rest of the people on your team in the Pro Bowl game, like, suck. Or they have no chemistry with your players. And they lose to the opposing conference. And then here you are, like, the best team in the league. And let's say you get, like, a Bengals team, like, an underdog. And they've won less games than you. And now they have the home field advantage. I could see where that would leave a sour taste in people's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... I don't know what they could do. I don't. It's hard telling. Like, it'd be kind of cool if they did like a. They still probably wouldn't play. I was gonna say for like a charity or something. Like if they completed so many passes or did so many things and like.
Well, you know, that's another thing that the All-Star game does. I believe that like the winners get to donate like I don't know like $30,000 or something like that to a charity of the team captain's choice. So I definitely think that's a good idea, maybe incentivizing charities in some way.
Yeah, so we'll see see what happens. I don't think they'll change it, though. They'll just keep it. It's just there for a
fill-the-gap
thing. I liked it better when it was after the Super Bowl, where it was kind of like, all right, everything's done. Everybody can play.
It's like everybody's going to recess after being in school all day.
Yeah, exactly.
I can agree with that. Definitely lacking right now. Not very fun to watch. I don't blame you and a lot of other people who just say, like, get rid of it. Because that's kind of where I'm at. The only thing is, I don't see them ever getting rid of it. It's already established. And the fact that it's televised and it's tied up in all these networking deals, I'm sure. And regardless of how shitty it is for a fan, I'm sure the NFL makes a good amount of money off of it. So,
oh, I'm sure.
I kind of want to approach it from like a rehab perspective. Like, what can we do to retool it and make it actually fun and exciting for people?
Yeah. Who knows? It'd be a good place to experiment things, new rules and stuff.
But that being said, it's about all we got from NFL this week. Enjoy your Super Bowl parties this weekend. Be responsible. Yeah. Be safe. Hopefully, we have a good matchup, and maybe America's team will win. Sorry, Dallas.
So what are our final picks? We'll make it official right now.
Joe's going to be going with the Rams.
I am going with the Bengals because I haven't bet against them yet.
That's fair. Do you want to voice Brian's opinion? Do you know what his thoughts are, or can you take a gander?
Well, he had on his fantasy. He had Ja'Marr Chase on his fantasy, so let's go. He's going to go Bengals.
All right, Brian's riding with the Bengals now. It's official.
Or the Rams. He's going for one of the two.
There's a distinct possibility out of those two teams. It's one of them.
There's a 50-50 shot he is going for either the Bengals or the Rams.
I think he's going for whoever wins.
Go team.
What dedication. But just about covers everything we wanted to discuss with the NFL. Still have a little bit of time here. I want to check in on the NBA. We're coming up on a pretty exciting time in the season. We're nearly at the All-Star game, which is more or less considered a halfway point. But also, we're recording this on Wednesday, February 9th. Tomorrow, February 10th, is the NBA trade deadline. So we have a lot of trades going on right now, a lot of moving parts. Possibly a lot of players that I'm talking about now will not be here by the time this podcast is actually uploaded. But I wanted to talk about a couple of trades that have gone down recently and just kind of generally check in with the NBA. So, did you have a trade you wanted to talk about first, Jake, or should I just go into it?
Just go into it.
All right. The first one I wanted to talk about Blazers. The Blazers are making a lot of moves at the deadline. Probably the biggest so far is they traded CJ McCollum to the Pelicans. Yeah. And in return, they got Josh Hart, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Tomas Satoransky. Shout out to Sato, Bulls point guard legend. Some dude, his name is Didi Luzada. I don't know who that guy is, but I like saying his name. And a couple of picks. So I think, to me, Jake, I don't know about you, this signals the Blazers giving up on, obviously, the season, but I feel like giving up on the Damian Lillard era. CJ was obviously his running mate for a long time, and they got along well. Many analysts, myself included, sort of felt it wasn't an ideal fit, and they didn't need to trade CJ. But considering the return that they got, I don't feel like this is them trying to contend. You know, they didn't get like a star player or anything. They got some pretty decent depth players, but there's still no true number two next to CJ, or next to Dame now.
I just saw about an hour ago, the Blazers traded away Nickeil Alexander-Walker. And yeah, so he's not on the Blazers anymore.
So that's probably like a salary move or something.
Well, they traded a, looks like Portland got, it was on a three-team deal here with Utah, Portland, and San Antonio. So Utah got Nickeil Alexander-Walker and Hernan Gomez. Mm-hmm. Portland received Joe Ingles, Elijah Hughes, and a second-round pick. And San Antonio got Thomas Satoransky.
They got Satoransky.
Sato. Yeah, Sato, and a second-round pick.
So
wild.
That's just it's not a trade I like for the Blazers. So obviously Sato and Alexander-Walker aren't even there. So what did they get? They got Josh Hart, decent wing player, good rebounding guard, but he's not really moving the needle anywhere. They also traded away two of their better depth players in Robert Covington. He was just starting small forward. He's on the Clippers now. And, who was Norman Powell? Norman Powell was their other wing, also traded to the Clippers. So they traded pretty much all their wing depth for Josh Hart and Joe Ingles. I'm pretty sure he got hurt, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, even healthy Joe Ingles, they're not moving the needle. They're not contending. So earlier in the season, I did talk about panic button on the Blazers. I don't think it's going to be working out for them this season. I think this is evidence to support that claim. The Blazers are not going anywhere this season.
No, might as well just tank it down and get a high draft pick.
I think that's the mode they're in now. I think they're telling Dan, like, hey, you know, sit out, rehab, get your abs right, and we'll be back next season. What I'm curious about is if this is a move to free up cap space for this offseason, if they try to make a big play at a superstar to pair with Dame, or if this is the start of maybe like a total rebuild and they've tried to start shopping Dame as well and move on. Because to me, the thing is, it's one thing to trade CJ. I think that was necessary. But the fact that they traded good contending pieces in Norman Powell and Robert Covington as well kind of makes me think that they're not really looking to like quickly get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's yeah. Not looking good for the Blazers. Poor Lillard. He needs to go somewhere else. But he keeps saying, my heart's here. I want to stay here. And it's like, but you got to free yourself, Lillard. You're going to be like Charles Barkley. So good, but never win a ring.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a weird thing with Lillard where he kind of epitomizes that old school ideal that Kobe, Dirk, and a lot of the players from before their generation did where, you know, you stick with one team through thick and thin, and when you do have success, it's like really, really rewarding, like when Dirk finally got one in 2011. But as a basketball fan, you know, it does kind of suck to watch Dame kind of languish away on these teams that nobody really thinks are going anywhere. Everybody knows they're like paper tigers, And you can clearly see he's such a talented player. He's so clutch. He's an amazing scorer. He gets better every year. And nobody's really able to see him perform to the level that we know he's capable of.
Yeah, it's a real shame. A shame.
And then another trade I wanted to talk about. This one I just feel bad for the team involved. The Kings and the Pacers had like a pretty big six-player trade. So the Pacers got Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, and the corpse of Tristan Thompson. And the Kings acquired Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, and Domantas Sabonis. So myself and I think many other people were just shocked that the Kings gave away Tyrese Haliburton on a rookie contract, second-year player. He's averaging like 18, 5, and 5 on nearly 50, 40, 90 shooting. And to top this off, just last week or so, Haliburton had a comment to the media to the effect of, you know, we're not winning right now, but I want to be part of the reason that we start to win. I want to turn this around. I want to be part of building something here. I want to be part of a culture. You just traded a dude with like a winner's mentality on a great contract, young, improving player for like an old guy in Domantas Sabonis. In fairness, Sabonis, he's not that old, but Tyrese Haliburton should not have been traded, especially not this early on.
Yeah, it was kind of a joke to see like the Kings have been so bad for so long, and they finally have like a young core that could develop, and then they're just like, nah. We want to win now. It's like you got no pieces to win now. What do you have? De'Aaron Fox? That's it.
It's just sad.
It's really depressing. Shout out Sacramento, I guess.
I just feel horrible for Kings fans because I'm pretty sure that they're the most mismanaged franchise of the past 10 years in the NBA between... Well, for one, in fact, I don't think they've been in the playoffs in like damn near 10 years, maybe more. I need to Google this. Kings' last trip to playoffs.
2002? No.
2005 to 2006 season. That was the last time. How long ago was that? That was more than 10 years.
16, 17 years.
Oh my God. 16, 17 years. Children have been born and gone to high school and nearly graduated, and they've never seen the Kings in the playoffs.
Isn't that crazy to think? That's wild.
You know what the sad part is? I don't think they were ever even close. I don't think there was ever like a moment where you're like, oh, they might make it this season.
Was that season, I wonder if that season was like a fluke season. Was that part of like a shutdown season or like a
lockout? They were a solid team in the early 2000s. They had a really good core. They did go to Western Conference Finals against the Kobe Shaq Lakers with Weber and Stojakovic. It's just after that era, everything got really bad.
Poor Sacramento.
I don't know a whole lot about... I'm going to be honest. I like avert my eyes from most Kings news because it hurts to watch. So I don't even know who the president of basketball operations is right now, or the GM. I know for quite a while, they had Vlade Divac, Lakers and Kings legend there. He fucked up his team horribly. Great guy, but he fucked up. Their owner, Vivek Ranadive, he seems like a good guy, good man, especially for one of those billionaire types who does own an NBA team. This dude, oh my God, he needs to hire some folks. I'm sure he's a very smart man to have all of his money. He needs to find somebody who knows basketball. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how involved he is in the day-to-day. He either needs to get more involved or less. He needs to do something. This is terrible. This is a disgrace.
Something's got to give for the Kings. Somebody get them some help, please.
I think the other part of this trade that frustrates me too is Domantas Sabonis. So Sabonis is like a really good player. He's a pretty exciting young big He's a particular archetype of player that I'm very fond of, where he's a playmaking center. Not quite at the level of like Jokic. Jokic is in like a tier of his own, but he's a solid all-around center. You know, he pulls down boards. He's got some post moves. Pretty good on offense, but more importantly is he's a good playmaker. This is a dude, he would have been a great asset to so many teams at the deadline. Like, he really could have pushed a lot of teams over the hump. This is a kind of fanboyism talking, but the Bulls could have used another big. We wouldn't be able to afford him, obviously, but there's a ton of teams out there where, like, if they had just gotten, like, another big, that would have really helped out. Even the Lakers, I don't know if this would work out money-wise, but let's say Lakers trade Westbrook, gets the bonus. I think that's a net positive for them. Let Monk run point guard, and then you have a huge lineup with AD, Sabonis, and LeBron. I mean, the possibilities are like endless. I could spend all podcasts talking about where he could have gone. He went to like the team that will do nothing. Nothing. There's nothing he can do. He can average 20, 20, and 20 every night. And it's not going to help anyone. It's just a black hole of talent.
Yeah. No, it's good.
It's just so sad and frustrating. And I'm not even a Kings fan. I can only imagine how the Kings fans feel.
That's just it, Joe. They don't feel.
They're just numb.
I've been numb since 2005 and 2006.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Yeah. Not good.
I'm going to refresh my timeline real quick to see if any trades went down before I talk about the next one. Okay, now, so, wait. Blockbuster news. The Miami Heat have acquired a 2026 second round pick from the OKC Thunder for KZ Okpala. Wow.
Dang.
Blockbuster.
That's next level right there. That could be huge.
The best part about that is that, like, Presti over at the Thunder probably doesn't even know what pick that is because they have so many. It probably means nothing to them. Picks are like grains of rice or sands in the desert.
Yeah, right. It's the grain of sand in the vast field.
But this last one, just a speculative trade that I wanted to talk about that's getting some traction. So, Jake, I don't know how much you've been following the Nets this season, but they're kind of in turmoil right now. Last I checked, this is current. They've lost 9 straight games right now.
Oh, wow.
They're only 4 games above 500. Kyrie's a part-time player. With his current vaccination status, that's not likely to change. As far as the regular season goes, he's only eligible to play in 11 more games. He can only play in 11 more games maximum.
Who's this?
For Kyrie.
Really?
Right. Because of his vaccination status, he can't play at home in New York, and away, he can only play in certain cities that are like okay with it. Like, I don't think he can go to Canada and play the Raptors at home. But anyway, long short of it is, he can only play 11 games. They've lost 9 straight. Kevin Durant's hurt right now. He's going to be out for a little while. James Harden is like sick of his shit. James Harden, there's a lot of smoke going on right now. Harden's not super happy about his tenure with the Nets. He was thinking like, all right, well, this is going to be probably the easiest team that I'll be on. I don't have to be the guy constantly all the time. It's going to be like the OKC days where I had Kevin, I had Russ, and I can just sit back and play my game. And we're going to just stomp through the Eastern Conference, and it's going to be great. I'm going to be playing with my bros. Somehow, James Harden has ended up just after coming into the Nets the latest, he's played more games than Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. He came into the Nets, I think, like almost a year or so, like 200 days or something after everybody else. And he's played more games than Kyrie, more games than Kevin Durant. If I'm James Harden, I feel like I've been fucking fleeced.
I would feel that way too. That's fucking wild.
But, with all that going on, so there's a lot of rumors speculating that Harden is going to take his option this free agency and explore other teams, maybe try to get off. He's apparently committed to the Nets for this season, but there's just so much talk, and it doesn't seem likely that this team is going to contend, given all the circumstances, that people are thinking there might be a James Harden trade on the horizon right now. And the key architect behind this trade would be somebody that James Harden is very familiar with, his old general manager from the Rockets, Daryl Morey, current GM of the 76ers.
Daryl
is always there. But the trade right now, assuming this is a thing that's happening, Ben Simmons for James Harden. We might finally see Ben Simmons moved, and then we have something else to talk about for the next year instead of him not playing. What do you think about the potential of this trade? Simmons to Nets, Harden to Sixers.
I say I'm all for it so everybody can stop talking about Ben Simmons.
But you know that won't happen. We're just going to find something else to talk about regarding Ben Simmons. It's going to go from Ben Simmons won't play, is he spoiled, is he childish, blah, 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 to him being on the Nets and going, either we're going to play really well, it's going to be like, see, Simmons was validated. This is how it should have been. He needed to be treated with respect, and we're going to get tons of puff pieces for months about how he's in such a better place here and how he feels so much more respected. Or we're going to suck really hard. It's not going to be a good fit. And we're going to get tons of information about, like, Simmons has such a poor work ethic. Look at this. Look at that. And I'm just letting you know, it's not stopping. Even if we don't talk about it on the show, it's going to keep going, baby. Ben Simmons doesn't stop.
Not until he retires. And even then.
Even then, it'll be like, did he need to retire so early? He didn't play an entire season. Couldn't he have played one more season?
So young.
But, as far as a basketball standpoint goes, so Sixers are obviously the winner on this. Like you were saying before the show, this is a total buy low on Harden. He looks a little bit unmotivated out there. And given the circumstances we laid out, I think that's fair. He's not at his peak basketball shape. But I think this is like exactly the trade that the Sixers want to make. This is a guy who, up until this past season or two, perennial MVP candidate, easy top five player in the league, shot creating guard who can get you a bucket in the clutch, more importantly, and a playmaker. That's literally the type of play they've been trying to get. So I feel like you need to pull the trigger on this if you're the Sixers. I don't really care what they're asking for. Besides Simmons, like right now, preliminarily, I'd heard some rumors they want to include Seth Curry in the package. I don't know if people are trying to say, no, Seth Curry, we can't do without Seth Curry. You can do without Seth Curry if you get James Harden.
Yeah, it'd be almost an improvement.
I feel like you can trade anybody besides Embiid on that team. Like, I'm a big fan of Tyrese Maxey, second year guard there right now. I would trade Maxey. I would trade Curry. Obviously, I'm trading Simmons. Like, I would trade pretty much anyone in that locker room within reason, and even the picks for the next few years to get Harden on a good deal. Because if you get Harden, that's instant contender. They're already contender right now. Embiid looks like the best player in the league at times by himself with no help. If you get him Harden, it's easy. It's easy, baby.
Looking like they're going to be walking. It's a cakewalk after that.
Especially with how banged up a lot of the rest of the league is.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. One more day to find out. And then it'll probably happen while we're sleeping.
It'll probably happen right after we post this. Or we'll go somewhere completely different and we'll look like fools. But other than that, do you see anybody else maybe making some splash moves here at the deadline? One thing I wanted to say was I think Lakers try to make something happen. Obviously, we're going to try to improve the team for LeBron. I think there's a Westbrook trade coming. I don't know how the logistics of that would work. I don't have any ideas right now, but I feel like the writing is on the wall. I think Westbrook's time there is probably done. He's been benched recently, not really playing to close out games. It just seems like it's not a good fit. I think they try to move on from Westbrook. What do you think?
I agree. Maybe they'll go for Harden.
That's true. I wonder.
One for one.
I don't know if it would work money-wise, but you do kind of wonder about that. Like, maybe KD would be like, give me my other good friend.
Yeah, I don't know. The Lakers might make some sort of wild trade, but other than that, I don't see anybody else. I think the moves have been made. If Ben Simmons doesn't move, then...
My only other watch that I've got right now, other player watch, is Bradley Beal on the Wizards. I wonder if a team pulls the trigger on him. They've not been very good this season. Beal's had a down year, but previously he's been pretty good.
He just had season-ending wrist surgery, too.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah,
I saw that. I was completely unaware of that.
Yeah. Look, I'm pretty sure I could be talking out my ass, but I think I saw that yesterday.
If that's the case, then never mind. I don't think anyone would be trading Beal at the deadline.
Let's see. There he is, Bradley Beal. Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley, upper crust the third.
Yep, undergo season-ending wrist surgery yesterday.
Well, never mind, I'm a fool.
Yeah. Know your stuff. Aren't you supposed to know this?
I am.
You're an NBA guy. Look it up, huh?
Maybe I should.
Fucking idiot.
Sorry.
We joke here, folks. It's called a joke.
Help.
Go. I'm going to get all the messages. They're gonna come at me on social media and be like, you need to be nicer to Joe.
I like this. I'm a fan of this movement.
Well, guess what? It's not happening.
Oh, no. I've made too many enemies with the Bengals fans.
Houday Nation, show up.
But anyway, that about covers everything I think we wanted to talk about for today. Did you have anything else to add, Jake, before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. You know, follow us on social medias, Fanbase Radio 1 on Twitter. Find Fanbase Radio on Instagram. You'll see our trio of faces everywhere. That nice little art piece that we got. Looking forward to hopefully a consistent upload schedule going forward. We'll see how it goes. Try to make it weekly, and
I want them to overdose on me.
Yeah, maybe we'll put out an episode a day. Hour long, every day.
We're going to start talking about our favorite episodes of My Little Pony.
Ooh. Tune in next week for My Little Pony, the special.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, engage with us on socials. Not just a podcast. We want to be a conversation. We want to be a forum. Some topics. Let us know your favorite Tom Brady moments. Personally, I don't want to see on-field stuff. I want to see memes. I want to see moments where Brady did something stupid or funny. Let me see some of those. Obviously, predictions for the Super Bowl. I want you to tell me why I'm an idiot and Joe Burrow can get sacked 20 times and still win and explain how that works to me. And some Ben Simmons Harden hot takes. Let's get some of that going. All right. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great rest of your weekend. And go Rams.
Go Bengals. Good night, everyone. And good morning. Whatever time of day it is. Good luck.
Ta-ta.